Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, if you just tuned in at Newsy Bits, we're talking about tantrums, how to deal with tantrums, whether it's your toddler or your teenager or your husband. What is the best way to deal with a tantrum? A new TV show is launching today. It actually aims to help young children grasp and accept their feelings. And anyone with a kid knows that they can have about 10 feelings in the space of a minute. Dr. Sam Ross is on the line, a child psychologist and star of The Secret Lives of 4, 5 and 6 year olds and a parent of 2 toddlers. Hello, how are you?
Hello. Hi, Jennifer. Very nice to meet you. Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on the show. So can you tell me a little bit about Happy the Hoglet?
Yeah, so it's a show dreamed up by the show's creator, Gráinne McGuinness, from a Belfast-based TV production company, Paper Owls. Who made Pablo, which was a kind of very successful award-winning CBBC series about a 5-year-old autistic boy. And this is about a hedgehog, Happy the Hoglet. And the original idea came from kind of the allotment community garden across the road from Gráinne, from where Gráinne lives. And it's basically about a show about a very emotional little animal who's not scared about talking about the emotions of other children, you know. And I think it's really, really important. And, you know, this is the reason, you know, I've been really keen to get on board with the publicity for it. Because, you know, if you think about a lot of kids' TV shows, you know, things like Octonauts, you know, which my toddler is obsessed by at the moment, you know, they definitely learn a lot. You know, my 3-year-old was just educating me about the difference between the Antarctic and the Arctic, which he's picked up from Octonauts. But the actual emotional range of what the characters go through on you know, a lot of kids' TV shows is virtually nothing. You know, everyone's brave, you know, nobody ever gets scared, you know, and it's all just about confronting danger and, you know, coming out of it successfully. But what Happy the Hoglet does, which is really, really good and really, really important, is, you know, they talk about the emotions that children are having, you know. So Happy is a very emotional, you know, little animal. You know, she's scared of the shadows, you know, so she's a hedgehog, so she spends a lot of time, you know, crawling around in the bushes. You know, sometimes she's sad that nobody wants to play with her, you know, and actually talk about it, which is really, really important because, you know, it's part of teaching children about emotions. You know, this is my, you know, big thing as a child psychologist, that children aren't born understanding what their emotions are. You know, they start to grow up, they start to experience all these different things, and they don't really have a clue what it is that they're experiencing. And all the research suggests that the more we teach children what their emotions are, you know, the more that helps them to communicate what they're feeling to other people. And that's what helps them to manage their emotions.
Okay, we kicked off in our Newsy Bits talking about tantrums and what to do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of texts coming in about these epic, dramatic tantrums that happen when you're out and about or in the home. Mm-hmm. And kids just having an absolute melt. Is that, in a sense, just a kid not understanding the feelings that they're having in that particular moment?
Yeah, it is. But the really interesting thing, Jennifer, and I'm really interested in this, you know, why you two tend to so often get tantrums when you're out and about, is, you know, I think a lot of it, you know, honestly, is about parents not understanding their child's emotions as well. You know, there's a lot of reasons why, you know, a shopping trip is a very stimulating place. You know, children process the world very differently. You know, as adults, you know, we're very good at tuning in to what we're interested in and blocking out all the distractions. So I can be in a very noisy, you know, hyper-stimulating place. And I'm very good at just filtering out, you know, everything else apart from the thing that I'm looking for. Children take in everything. They can't have that. They can't, like, filter out, you know, one thing and block out distractions. So they tend to get overwhelmed much more easily. So one of the big reasons why you very often get tantrums while you're out shopping is just because there's simply so much going on. Now, that's one thing. Another thing is, where shopping is a very out of control period for a lot of children. You know, as adults, you know, we know what the overarching aim is. You know, I've got to get that, I've got to get that, and I've got to get that. And then I go. Whereas children are just getting dragged around. You know, they don't have a clue, you know, what the overall arch is. They're just kind of getting dragged from one place to another. And everybody finds it stressful to be out of control, you know. So if you don't know what's happening, it's a much, much more, you know, intense experience for children. So there's a lot of reasons why you do often get tantrums with toddlers when they're asked about that. You know, from my experience, you know, parents really, really don't appreciate it and they don't take it into account.
Interesting. I never thought of it like that. Maybe I won't take my children to the supermarket next time. But I mean, some parents just don't have a choice, and it's just how their day is going. But there's also other issues affecting kids when it comes to tantrums and dealing with their feelings that have never existed before. You know, we have, you know, access to technology. I always find my kids go a little bit mental after they spend too long on the TV. If both parents are working, does that have an effect? Sugary diets. I mean, surely these all have an impact on kids today.
Yeah, they do, definitely, Jennifer. And there is quite a lot of research actually suggesting, certainly with older children, that, you know, rates of what we call the affective disorders, so things like anxiety and depression and things like that, are going up over time. And we don't really understand why. You know, it's very, very hard to be sure about things like whether it is technology that's causing it. You know, certainly I definitely notice with my own kids, you know, exactly as you say, you know, after a while on the telly, you know, they're noticeably, you know, more likely to tension, more likely to flip out. And we do actually quite understand quite well now from a short-term point of view why that is. So we basically, we have kind of different stress modes in our body. We have one thing called the, you know, fight or flight nervous system. So your kind of sympathetic nervous system. And that's actually about, you know, readying your body to cope with, you know, actually physical dangerous situations. And there's quite a lot of research suggesting that if a child is watching a TV show where they're viewing a character in an imagined danger, yeah, their body reacts to this character in imagined danger as if they're in danger. So their brain, you know, shifts their body into fight or flight mode. So, you know, their heart will start to beat faster. They'll start sweating. You know, I've definitely noticed it with my own kids that they'll start sweating even though the room's not particularly hot. And that's their body shifting themselves into fight or flight mode, you know, because they can't tell this imagined danger in it, that this character in the show that is watching, from real danger. So they're responding to the imagined danger as if it's real danger. So we understand quite well from a short-term point of view, you know, why children are kind of often trickier after they've been watching TV for a while. But, you know, as I say, we don't really understand, you know, how this is impacting kind of their long-term development.
Okay. But if your kid's tantrum turns a bit violent and they kick or bite you or whatever, how should you handle that?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, and it's really, really tough. So there's been research suggesting that once you get into a certain level of severity in a tantrum, it doesn't really matter what you do. So they call it the event horizon in a tantrum, like in a black hole. You know, there's an event horizon in the black hole where you have to be traveling faster than the speed of light to get out when you're beyond that point. And so once you're into a certain level of severity, it doesn't matter. So it doesn't make much difference, you know, how you behave in terms of how long the tantrum lasts. It's just about, you know, protecting the child, you know, stopping them hurting yourself, stopping them hurting themselves, stopping them hurting you and other people and that type of thing, and just wait for the storm to blow over. And if you get it early enough, though, it does make a difference what you do. Now, interestingly, and we do this a lot in my family. I've got a very emotional 3.5-year-old. I work with this American psychologist, Harvey Karp, and this was actually, he did a really nice book on it. Making the point that your natural reaction is to try to be very logical, yeah? So what we find in my family is that, you know, there's been a big shift that, you know, Freddie, our son, always used to have, you know, meltdowns as a baby about stuff. But it felt like, you know, we were on his side, yeah? We were just trying to help him through something that upset him, you know, maybe he was a bit colicky or maybe he got a sore tummy or something like that. And mummy and daddy were there to help him. And the difference with a tantrum is suddenly it feels like it's your fault. You know? So he'll say, you know, I want to do this. You know, I want to pour orange juice on the cat or anything like that. And you say no. And that's what triggers the tantrum. So that, because of that, we tend to react very differently. So our natural reaction is to get, you know, defensive in a way, or just try to be really ordered and reasoned about it and just say, no, the reason that you can't pour orange juice on the cat is because then the cat will get wet, et cetera, et cetera. And what this guy, Harvey Karp, was saying, and it actually worked very well in our household, is, you know, that is not the time to reason with them. You know, tantrums are about, you know, your emotion centers taking over, your kind of your logical centers shut down. So a much more effective way to do it is just to be like a commentator, yeah? To say, you know, to match their language. You say, yeah, you want to pour orange juice on the cat. You really, really want to. You really, really want to, like that. And don't, you know, shut it down, explain why they can't. Just show that they're understood. Make them feel, you know, empathize with, and then try to shift their emotion onto something else. And that's certainly what works in our family.
Wow. Okay. Luckily, I don't have a cat or like orange juice. So there's a low, I mean, but kids go through so many other emotions, not just tantrums, but what if they're feeling frustrated, or what if they're afraid of something? I'm going through this thing with my youngest that he's afraid to stay in his own bed at night, or he's afraid of something, you know. So how do you deal with those things? Those emotions.
Yeah, so Yeah, so they're all kind of subtly different variations. So one thing, you know, it sounds like your son's talking to you about it, which is already great. You know, this is definitely something that, you know, comes through really strongly from Happy the Hoglet. You know, it's really, really important to be talking about how you're feeling. Another kind of more subtle thing, and, you know, in our household, this is my son, Freddie, is kind of relatively scared of spiders. I've been reading quite a lot about the literature about, you know, what it is that drives, you know, in extreme forms, they're called phobias, where you're kind of really scared about something. And one thing that's interesting is when you've got a phobia, you're not scared of the actual thing that you're scared of. You're scared of your reaction to it. Yeah. So instead of being a, you know, certainly in England, quite a unjustified, you know, fear of spiders because they're not actually dangerous, it's actually a justified fear because if I see this thing, it's going to make me feel horrible. Yeah, I'm going to start feeling anxious. My heart's going to start going faster. I won't be able to breathe so well. You know, and you learn the association between seeing the thing and how you feel when you see the thing. Yeah. So it's actually quite justified fear. You know, my original reaction was just to say, no, it's not, you know, it's not logical. You know, there's nothing logical about it. But it is actually logical if you kind of shift it like that. So the way to treat it, and it's very, you know, something that really does work actually quite well, is just to try and break that association. So trying to get them in a situation where, you know, in your son's case, it's, you know, kind of lying in bed. In my son's case, it's looking at a spider, where they're experiencing that thing and they're not feeling scared. Yeah. And then you can break that kind of rule that whenever I see this or whenever I do that, I feel that way. Yeah. So what we try to do, you know, is we go on a tour, you know, we have loads of spiders in our garden. We try to go on a tour, you know, regularly through the garden, pick at times when Freddie is in a good mood anyway, and I'm really with him, you know, I'm holding his hand, you know, hugging him, helping him to feel relaxed, and we just sit and look at the spider, you know, and appreciate the beauty of the spider's web, if there's any kind of dew hanging off it, and just try to break that association between, you know, when I see that happen, I feel in that way. And that's a really good, you know, certainly in my experience, it's an effective way of, you know, kind of stopping that phobia from developing.
Gotcha. Happy the Hoglet is on RTÉ Junior at 8 a.m. and 12:10 p.m. and 3:30. It's on from today. And this is a programme, Dr. Sam. It's just the thing to actually sit down with your child and watch?
Definitely, yes. So it's a really, really good conversation starter. You know? So in terms of, you know, you've seen that happen. So can you think of times when, you know, you felt that way in your own life, you know, that type of thing. And it really is, you know, but what's also great about it is the characters themselves talk about it amongst themselves, which, as I say, is so rare. So, yeah, really, really great. And from my experience, a really, really important learning thing. You know, this is something that we need to teach children about. We need to teach children what their emotions are. And we really don't do nearly enough of that at the moment.
Well, this programme is kicking off on RTÉ Junior. Thank you so much, Dr. Sam, for joining us today. And best of luck with everything.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jennifer.
Bye, love. Bye.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.